News Radio 930 WBEN.
It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Nicotine lozenge free. It is 9 minutes after 3 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Bowerly and Bellavia on a Tuesday. David, I'm sorry to leave you alone to start off the week on a Monday, because when you're used to doing a two-person show, you come in, you're solo, and it just sucks your soul directly out of your body. So thank you, bro. I definitely owe you one.
No, that wasn't, it didn't feel right.
Yeah, it really doesn't. I mean, I did the show solo for many, many years, but then whenever you take a day off, I feel like I'm absolutely naked, and I always ask myself the question, can I still do a solo show? Can I still do it? And the answer is obviously no, not in the least. It is Bowerly and Bellavia. As we move along today, if you see any traffic issues that are happening, you can be sure to text the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text line at 30930. That is 30930, because we always appreciate it when you help us with traffic. Going to be a cold Thanksgiving. We have some Thanksgiving topics we're going to get into today. I'm thinking ham or lamb. Usually it's an Easter topic, but you know, that's got to be thrown into the mix somewhere, somehow, sometime. And David, just a real quick aside, we're not going to do the whole show on this, but is it safe to say that Nate McMurray can pretty much stop looking for apartment space in Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, this isn't a good one. This isn't a good look. The update right now, there are 5,588 absentee ballots. And so far, 3,729 of them have been counted. McMurray leads Collins by a little over 500. He needs 3,000. So it's mathematically impossible.
So let's do some math. 3,000 minus 500 equals 2,500.
Right.
And so it ain't going to happen.
It's not gonna, there's 1,800 uncounted ballots left. And by the way, there's still the emergency ballots that have to be counted. Those are the people that didn't know what party they were. They filled out. They didn't know if they were registered, whatever the case may be.
So, David, at what point does Nate McMurray, I mean, look, for those who don't know, you've been in a political race. You've been in a political race against Chris Collin. At what point do you know that any further attempt to try to win this thing that is mathematically impossible to win is only going to make you look bad for any future political endeavors in which you might have an interest?
Yeah, well, it's tough. I mean, first of all, Nate McMurray got closer than any person probably has. We don't know what the final total is, but the Kathy Hochul one was very close. The Collins Hochul race was very close. But let's just say he gets real close. That's great. But on election night, we knew this was going to happen. Everyone knew this was going to happen, and you knew it too, because the NCCC was not paying for any of this. None of this is going to come from the national party. They're going to do their best to undermine the process and try to act like Collins somehow stole this election. But the reality is there was nothing suspicious about any of these precincts. There was nothing reported that there was something suspicious. And the vote count pretty much is holding up, plus or minus 500 votes.
Well, I think it's safe to say that if there are any more courses that are being offered in how to be a congressman and what you do when you're in Congress, Nate can probably skip those for the time being.
Well, yeah. And again, I think it goes a long way. We saw this in the Georgia gubernatorial race, in the Florida gubernatorial race, in the Florida Senate race. How classy people handle defeat. How classy people handle victory. It's not just about whether you win or how you lose. It's about the class you show, because that is every bit of why someone's voting for you. You're the congressman on 9/11, and you're the congressman on make a year up and a date up. Nobody cares on disaster and on boring days. You have to be suited for the job. You can't fly off the handle. This was a very congressional, this entire thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, and he's a young guy. Relatively speaking, David, and if I were Nate McMurray, I would be looking ahead to the future. I would be thinking to myself, you know, I'd like to leave people with a good taste in their mouths about me and not a bad taste in their mouth about me. I would like to show that I'm a mature, intelligent, capable, realistic, rational person that knows when he's been licked.
Yeah, I'm not sure with Kathy Hochul circling the wagons. I'm not sure that this shot at the congressional level in this district is going to present itself again. But with redistricting, who knows? Down the road, anything could happen. But there's going to be, he's obviously going to learn lessons from this and be better next time around. But you got to surround yourself with competent people that know when to call a race and know when to walk away. The Kenny Rogers.
Know when to hold him, know when to fold him.
Kenny Rogers, as a political consultant, will never, ever do you harm. So true.
Just don't count your money sitting at the table.
Yeah, don't celebrate before you win, and certainly don't punch the clock unless you know it's over.
There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done.
But you have to know when to throw in the towel, because if it's over, it's over, and everything else makes you look foolish.
Now, is it a striped towel or is it a solid color, maybe a pastel?
When the votes are there, you know it. And by the way, when nobody else is saying you have a shot, I mean, nobody on the national stage, they were calling races yesterday in Texas. Nobody said this thing was even in the stratosphere of being contested.
But I would personally, even though he's not my particular cup of tea, I would like to congratulate Nate McMurray on getting as close as he did in such a heavily Republican district. I think, frankly, he should be happy and he should be proud of himself for getting as close as he did. I think he's got to know it's over, but let's face it, he did pretty well.
Absolutely. There's a lot of headwind. You know, I think if you look back, there was a lot of missed opportunities from the campaign. Look, if the DCCC puts $200,000 in this race, it's Congressman Nate McMurray. Think about that. All the talk about how many millions of dollars the Democrats were going to spend, they didn't spend anything. They needed 200 grand, and it's Congressman McMurray. So whatever anyone wants to say about, you know, Chris Collins, his money kept Democratic money out of this district.
And money, sorry, David, but money in that district is very important, and it's very, very difficult because you've got two major media markets that you've got to hit. You've got to hit the Rochester media market, and you've got to hit the Buffalo media market.
And now you've got a whole new area that's outside of Buffalo and Rochester, pretty much, and that's Ontario County. So you've got to focus more on, you know, different avenues of getting the message out there, mail. You know, you try with the robocalls that harass everyone. But the reality is Chris Collins's money kept the Democrats out. And if they have anyone to blame, if Nate McMurray has anyone to point the finger to, it has to be the Democratic Party at the national level, because they had this seat if they just put a little bit of money in.
Well, you know, David, speaking of money. I'm trying to think about how I can make this segue work, and it's going to be very, very difficult. So, not speaking of money, David, there is a viral video that is taking root on the internet, and it involves the Bishop of Buffalo, Richard Malone. I was going to start off with something about money, and it just wasn't going to go anywhere, so I had to pull back very, very quickly.
You know, if you've watched the show on Netflix called Bodyguard.
Yep.
Now everyone's becoming like an expert on how to handle a VIP or a person state. When anyone's following you with a camera, the only place you can escape to where the camera either will be put down, someone will be arrested, or someone will be physically beaten is in the restroom.
Correct.
That is the only place you can escape when someone is filming you, is to run to the restroom.
And this is why, when you are in public or a public place, you have no expectation of privacy.
Exactly. But you also have a guy who's got a camera in your face who's now recording everyone else in a restroom. And that's a little bit different than walking around in a terminal. Even though I would be weirded out if someone was filming, you know, someone, some celebrity or someone running down the terminal. Now you're in the footage. Whatever the situation is. But again, this is a guy who's been doing this to everyone. This is the tactic that they use. They use it for Fox News correspondents, everyone else. This guy is this Michael, what's his last name? Michael Voris, who looks like Michael Voris looks like Robert Redford went two haircuts past. You know what I mean? If Robert Redford missed his appointment with the barber twice, that's Michael Voris.
Right. I've missed mine a few times.
Well, this guy is just, it's his hair is just so weird. He's got like a 15-year-old haircut. He's got a Justin Bieber circa 2006, and he's a 47-year-old man. But this guy runs around. He calls himself a conservative Catholic, but he's one of those guys that just, you know, loves the shock value of outing people. And he's taken the sexual crisis of the Catholic Church to be a huge fundraiser. And he goes around and he isolates people and he just harasses the hell out of them.
You know, I'm not Catholic, so I don't know that I'm capable or qualified to pass a judgment on what is or is not a conservative Catholic. But when I think of conservative Catholics, I think of people like Bill from Eden. I think of people like the lady who always emails us from Grand Island and a few other listeners who are absolutely in love with the faith in which they grew up. They are not going on to the bandwagon. I mean, I think of those people as being the conservative Catholics. I don't know how you can call yourself a conservative Catholic if you disrespect the hierarchy or are perceived to disrespect the hierarchy within the Roman Catholic Church. There's nothing conservative about that,
but see,
my opinion.
But this Michael Voris is a guy. He started the Church Militant. That's the name of the organization. And nothing annoys me more than people that use violent rhetoric and don't have any intention to use violence. Because if we're going to see these groups coming, you want to see them coming from a distance. You know, I mean, if we're ever going to erase hate from the world or people that run around in little groups and try to intimidate people with violence, it's going to be because enough good people in mass stand up to the bad guys and say, this is not going to be tolerated, right? But if you don't know where it's coming from, it's harder to root out. And guys like this are just kind of, they live in this world that it's cool to be like a resistor, fight the power, but they're politically correct. Who the hell is supporting pedophilia? You know, any priest that touches a kid, no one is in that lobby. No one's running around. So Bishop Malone is walking through an airport and some guy puts a camera in his face and harasses him. And you literally see, and God bless all the people around Bishop Malone. Nobody expected this to happen and you all did your best. One of the worst jobs of protecting, if you're trying to protect Bishop Malone, you couldn't have done a worse job. You actually put him in a canal with the guy.
David, you are qualified.
This is actually kind of funny.
You are qualified to offer an expert opinion on bodyguard and security and what the people did wrong who were around Bishop Malone. So right. For those who don't know, what exactly did the people who were trying to protect Bishop Malone do wrong and what could they have done better?
Well, first of all, this is a person who's never, this is not her job. She's right. Not a security guard at all. And the second thing is, it was ridiculous. This guy was completely out of control. He was disrespectful. He made physical contact with her at least 7 times. He's, you know, initiating physical contact with a woman, whether she's there as a PR spokesman or not. She has no business putting your hands on her or even making contact with her. But she was trying to cut off his, you know, as he was walking towards the bishop, she was trying to get in his way. And you know, you're never going to win when you do stuff like that, because then it looks like you're, you know, trying to stop and, you know, you're playing the whole brake light game where you just slam on your brakes for no reason. It makes it look like you're trying to be an obstacle, and that usually makes that person more aggressive. And that's what happened here. And then a couple times the bishop was trying to like scoot away into traffic. And what she ended up doing was boxing the bishop into like a pillar. And the bishop was then stuck in a corner, and she then moved the aggressive interviewer into the corner with the bishop. So she did like the last thing you ever want to do is take the victim and put them in a locked room with the assaulter. That's what she did. She like, instead of using herself as like a moving pick,
right,
the bishop could have gone into the crowd and it would have been more difficult if you've seen any Hollywood movie.
Now, for those who don't know what we're talking about when we talk about the bishop being accosted by this guy, we have the audio. Obviously, we can't give you the video on the radio, but you can see some of it when you go to the Bowerly and Bellavia Facebook page. That's Bowerly and Bellavia on Facebook. But one of our questions for you today is, was it appropriate or inappropriate for the guy to do what he did to Bishop Malone at the airport? Would you call that harassment, or is it more like real journalism? Is it real journalism? Is it harassment? And do you think
I guarantee you I could get you to punch me in the face if I harassed you. If I followed you or did whatever, there's a limit that you're going to take where you're like, I can't do this anymore. I think every person has that limit. And if you are someone who's instantly famous, like Bishop Malone has found himself,
right,
that's got to be the most horrifying thing in the world. I mean, you watch TMZ and you see Brad Pitt go through an airport. All the girls think he's the sexiest man in the world. Everyone thinks he's charming. There's never a time when someone, there might be a weirdo out there, but those are few and far between. These people are famous for being hated. Bishop Malone is popular because people hate him. You have to think that everyone that approaches you with hostility wants to hurt you. And he's not a young guy, and he's not walking around with, you know, the Swiss guard.
No, he's 72, 73 years old.
And he's going through the airport with a woman and, you know, that is his PR person.
Right.
So you don't expect this type of thing. And this Michael guy does this all over. He's got a million videotapes of him running through airports. But listen, this is a well-organized effort. You have to know who Bishop Malone is as he goes through TSA. And if you look at what he's wearing, you're not going to be able to identify him from a group of older people. You had to know where he's going, where his flight was. Where is this recording being done? Inside the terminal. So you had to organize that so somehow you were at the gate as he was leaving the gate. That takes a little bit of sophistication, a little bit of planning.
So one of our questions to you, and you're going to hear the audio coming up on News Radio 930 WBEN, harassment or legitimate journalism? Is this what you want to see more of, or is this what you want to see less of? Again, the audio coming up after the news at 3:30. Now, this is not, I repeat, not a refocusing on the abuse crisis in the Roman Catholic Church, because we've done enough of those shows for right now. Thank you very much. This is a show about appropriate or inappropriate, legitimate journalism or illegitimate journalism. And you may have already heard the audio this morning. Sandy Beach covered this on News Radio 930 WBEN. And we finally, the ribbon has been taken off, the wrapping has been taken off of Sandy Beach's next trip. They're going out west, David. They're going out west, L.A., the Space Needle. They're going to go to Calgary. Part of it's on a cruise ship, part of it isn't. But David and I, ladies and gentlemen, we are holding out. We're waiting to be offered Italy. When they offer us Italy, we'll do the Bowerly and Bellavia Do Italy tour. But until then, we're holding out because we're divas. Said if you're going to play the game, boy, you got to learn to play it right. You got to know when to hold them. Know when to fold them. Kenny Rogers. Well, the funny thing is, all those hokey songs he did in the 70s, huge hits, made Kenny Rogers enormously wealthy. And yet, when he was with the First Edition, they had a kind of a cutting-edge song. I just checked in to see what condition my condition was in. Nobody plays it anymore, but it is surprisingly psychedelic for Kenny Rogers. Anyway, Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN. The tape we are about to play comes from Detroit, the airport there, Wayne County, I believe. And this is the Bishop of Buffalo, Richard Malone, who is being chased around by a guy who is not a representative of a recognized major media outlet. David, am I correct on that? I mean,
no,
you know, our mics.
He's a Catholic InfoWars guy.
Right. Okay. Because our microphones here and the microphones of legitimate accredited news organizations typically have what we call mic flags. You know how you open up the newspaper and you'll see a picture of a bank of microphones, and you'll see WBEN, you'll see our competitors, you'll see the various TV stations. But this was a cell phone.
Well, that's not saying much. I mean, first of all, any idiot can buy a mic flag. And the other one is that most reputable journalists now use their cell phones. I mean, our guys go out there and they might pull their phone out for 2 seconds. I'm saying, regardless of the way he appears, his actions dictate that that is not a serious person. I mean, even TMZ treats you with more respect.
Well, I think for those who haven't heard the exchange between Bishop Malone and this dude, we need to hear it and keep in mind, in the back of your mind, as we play it for you. The question is this appropriate or is this inappropriate behavior for somebody who says he's a member of the media? Is this cool? Is it uncool? And what information did he really expect to get out of it, or was this just an attempt to harass?
Excuse me, Bishop Malone?
Yes, sir.
Can we ask you why you've left Father Dennis Ryder still in position as a priest in Buffalo?
Yeah.
You know, he abused a...
Excuse me.
Stop.
I'm coming this way. Excuse me, ma'am.
No, you're pushing me.
Can you excuse... No, you're... I'm going past him. Excuse me.
No.
You've left a man in who at least... Who has three credible sexual allegations against him, Bishop. Why is that?
Sir, now you're impeding our ability to walk.
Why do you have that? What, you've left a man in. We interviewed one of his victims.
I refuse to respond to you. Speak to my review board.
Well, I'm speaking to you, Bishop. You're the man in charge of the priest.
You'll get away from me right now, or I will call the police.
Call the police, sir. I'm in a public space. Go ahead.
Good.
Why have you left a man in place? A priest? A priest who abused a six-year-old boy that we interviewed.
Hi, excuse me.
Bishop, really seriously, you have nothing to say.
Not to you, I don't.
Really? Why not?
Because this is a form of harassment.
It's not a form of harassment. I'm walking through a public space asking you as a bishop.
Ask any bishop in the United States what they think.
Who are you?
Well, I don't care what they think.
Right, that's clear.
That's clear. Do you seriously think what you're doing is fine? You've left an abusive priest in place.
Excuse me.
Really, you've left an abusive... Stop touching me.
You're pushing me.
I'm not touching you.
You're please.
It almost broke into a Monty Python sketch towards the end of that.
Or the backseat of any car with kids.
What you understand is happening is you've got Bishop Malone's walking through the airport. He's got his PR handler there. And again, no one was expecting this. But the rule number one is you don't engage at all and go into the restroom. And everything is over. And then you collect yourself and get security or call the police.
The minute, you know what, when the guy responded, well, we're in a public place. And here's my opinion, and it's not a legal opinion. It is to me, a common sense and common courtesy opinion. I know that might seem unusual in 2018. But the minute somebody tells you, I'd like you to go away, you're bothering me, I think you're under an obligation to go away. I mean,
absolutely.
I'm sorry.
This isn't a stand your ground case or anything.
Yeah, public space or no public space. The minute the bishop said, please get away from me, I think the guy was under a moral obligation to get away.
Now, if you're listening to this right now, you might be thinking, wait a minute. No one, if I walk to an airport right now, no one's going to recognize me. No one's going to know anything. Well, if you can imagine that within 24 hours, your face was on every television station, three times a day, Spectrum News all day in your doctor's office, and it's on it's radio, we're talking about you, we're talking about where you live, reporters are outside your house, and this happens to you, you have to think to yourself, you know, at some point, there's a celebrity who's used to this, they grew up with it, Justin Bieber, and then you've got Bishop Malone, who's maybe in month three of being infamous, really. I mean, there's famous and then there's what you're known for. People think he has done something wrong. They are making allegations that this is somehow an evil man. And he's got to walk around thinking, who's going to come up to me and take a swing? Who's going to throw? Who's going to spit on me? Who's going to tackle me? What's going to happen here? I'm sorry, but if you thought this was a Buffalo thing, this happened in Detroit. This is all over. They're targeting these Catholic bishops. They're going after these folks. And you've seen it with Fox News people. You've seen it with Nancy Pelosi. People went after her when she went to lunch. The left is doing it 99% of the time. But it's wrong. It's wrong when it happens to a liberal. It's wrong when it happens to Kevin Spacey, even though, I mean, again, allegations are one thing. Not, you know, he's a citizen until he's proven guilty.
But David, at what point in this country's declension, I mean, have we actually seen adults? He's touching me. You're touching me. You're touching me. I mean, this is stuff that we all grew up with as kids or as parents. We saw our kids doing.
Look, unfortunately, that's very few and far between that happens. But it wasn't the best PR moment. Okay. There was a lot there that, you know, she was trying to get in the way of the guy and she was, you know, trying to stagger her steps to block him and force him around. It was just clumsy. It was filmed. It should never have happened. The bishop deserves more, a little bit more respect. And you get him into a restroom and then you call the police or security and you give the guy protection. And that would happen with anyone, by the way. A hockey player that screws up the game-winning shot is going to have the same, you know, protection from the outside, like unwashed.
Like the referee in the movie Rat Race. Who blew the call. All right, well, let's pick it up here.
You just quoted Rat Race.
I can think of no finer intellectual resource than the movie Rat Race. I'm in an ace. All right, let's have the interview roll a little bit more.
Excuse me.
Really, you've left an abuse. Stop touching me.
You're pushing me.
I'm not touching you.
You're
please
you've
stop
pushed
with
me.
Your false crap. Okay, I'm over here.
Awesome.
Bishop, please.
Good job.
No answer whatsoever.
This proves what we've always been told.
And this proves what we've always been told.
Right.
God bless you. Peace
Good
be
answer.
With you, okay?
Good answer.
Peace be with you.
How about peace be with Anthony? How about peace be with Anthony, one of his victims?
Good retort.
We interviewed him. That man forced a 6-year-old to have oral sex on him. You think that's fine. You
Excuse
have him
me.
Place as a pastor.
Excuse me. Excuse me.
Do you not have an answer? Seriously.
Would you find a police officer?
Yeah.
See if there's someone here.
Let's just get to the point.
Yeah.
Thanks.
See, because previous to this, the bishop distinctly asked this person to leave him alone. I'm not a lawyer, but it is my opinion that the minute you ask somebody to leave you alone and this individual persists in not leaving you alone, David, I call that a kind of bullying. Do you?
Right. Here's the thing. It becomes harassment when you don't want anything to do with something. Someone's forcing it upon you. But the other issue here is, you know, are you harassing and are you also presenting some sort of threat to other people around you? And when you're running around and not paying attention, there's a crowd of people over there. You're using ridiculous language. And oh, by the way, you're talking about oral relations with children in a crowd of God knows who. There are other things this guy's doing that shows that this probably should be broken up by law enforcement. I would just like to think you didn't have to walk for 45 minutes blessing him in an airport. Probably a little savvier PR group would have got him out of that situation before it happened.
Well, of course, there was no way. I suppose the bishop could have known what was going to happen in Detroit, but I would think that he maybe in the future, in future travel endeavors, might wish to travel with, perhaps a big burly priest, maybe his own posse, the bishop's posse.
Or just have a heads up that this is probably going to happen again, and you need to have a plan for all these contingencies because you never know. And by the way, everyone should have a plan. You should always have a plan as to what to do in an emergency. And if you're, you know, finding yourself with a bunch of cameras in your face and you don't want to say anything, you don't want to look guilty, you don't want to look, just leave.
So is this journalism or is this just a guy being obnoxious? What would you have done in the bishop's place? What would you have done in the accuser's place? 803-0930 is the phone number, 803-0930. *930 is free on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. But it actually continued even after that, Phil.
Malone, why is Father Whiter still in active ministry?
Get away from me right now, please.
We're in a public place.
We're in a public place. We have a right to stand here and ask you, why have you left a priest who abused a six-year-old child in place?
You forced a six-year-old to oral sex.
This is a priest.
Why?
This case went through the entire process of the review board.
There are two eyewitnesses.
Okay.
There were two eyewitnesses, and you completely ignored
Bishop Malone,
them, Bishop.
Where's the transparency, Bishop? Where's the transparency, Bishop Malone?
Excuse me. We can't have the cameras out up here.
We're not shooting you. We're shooting this bishop who has left a sexually abusive priest in place.
This is totally a lie.
Well, and that is the audio we have here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Do we need more of this? Do we need less of this? Is this, David, is this one of the reasons why, now, even though this guy is not affiliated with the Washington Post or WBEN or Fox News or CNN for that matter, at least as far as we know, is this kind of behavior one of the reasons why media people are about as respected as crocodiles?
Well, I don't consider this guy a media guy. He's
but he'll be perceived as one by the people.
Probably, but he's not. And I don't think any respectable media person acts like this. You know, this is repugnant behavior. I believe it's also illegal behavior. I believe that a couple of times this guy totally crossed the line, but you know, you'd like to take it as a teaching moment to tell Bishop Malone or anyone that's a public person, if this were ever to happen to you, this is a really bad way to handle it. This is not, it doesn't make anyone look good, and it makes you look guilty. You're, you know, the whole thing just comes across clownish. And that's unfortunate because that's a very dignified man.
Well, do you think the bishop came off clownish, or do you think the reporter guy came off clownish?
Anytime you engage with a clown, you come off as clownish. I mean,
so he should have just totally ignored him?
Absolutely ignored him. Just continue to walk away and say, listen, if you'd like to, here's my number, send me an email, whatever. But and then you go to the restroom, you stop the filming, and you call for security or you call for the police.
It is, you know what, it's funny because anytime, at least lately, I've been walking through an airport, there certainly isn't a shortage of security people. One would have thought there would have been one very, very close by in Detroit, but apparently there was not.
Not at all, and that's shocking. And the other thing, too, is that, you know, a credit card person couldn't chase you down. You know, someone who's trying to sell you something, who has the license to sell you something in the airport, they couldn't treat you that way.
But again, you know, to me, the minute somebody says, you are bothering me, I want you to go away, at that moment, I believe you have the obligation, public place or no public place, to move away. You know, it's kind of like, maybe this isn't a good analogy, but it's kind of like being served notice of a restraining order. Once the person says they don't want to see you or have anything to do with you, you got to back off. It is Bowerly and Bellavia, 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. So the bishop and the guy with the cell phone at the airport, who is right, who is wrong? What would you have done? Similar situation. And I'm just going to say one thing real quick. At some point, somebody is going to do something like this, David, and they're going to do it to the wrong person, and they're going to end up being throat punched by somebody who knows what they're doing.
Yeah, it can only end horribly. I mean, it's not a good idea to follow people. It's not a good idea to harass people, especially people that aren't wary of what your intentions are. At an airport, it's just a bad idea.
Especially at an airport. You can't even joke about a bomb in an airport. I mean, not that that's a bad thing. Let's go to Joe in East Aurora on WBEN. Joe.
Hey, how you doing? First of all, apologies for my voice. I came down with a sore throat this morning.
Bro, hang in there. There's a lot going around.
Yep. I couldn't agree with you more that people in public should not be accosted by people just because they disagree with them and so forth. But there is a point about the bishop and about this whole scandal that I'd like to make if I can.
Well, we're trying to keep it onto what happened at the airport. You know, at what point things went sideways, at what point things should have been, at what point the reporter should have walked away.
Well, he should have walked away before he did anything. But, I mean, this is a very important point about what's going on, and I think it's really, really important. Can I say something about it?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. they talk about transparency, and, you know, Bishop Malone might be a great guy, a guy you'd want to have a beer with or whatever.
That's, but he's got to be transparent.
But at the same time, they're paying, so far, $3 million on lobby groups to lobby Albany so victims don't have any rights as far as the statute of limitations, et cetera. Now, that, to me, is not being a good bishop or good priest or, you know, the whole church. I mean, why would they be hiring lobbying firms to protect their interests against the interests of the victims?
Well, I think you answered your own question with the question. They're lobbying to protect what they perceive as their own best interests.
Well, it wouldn't kill them financially. I mean, they got a pretty much bottomless barrel in Rome, but the victims, you know, they're being victimized over and over, and to me, that's not transparency.
I have a very dear friend who is a bishop, I have a very dear friend who was a victim of a terrible, terrible priest as a child. We had him on the show. And the pain in this guy who is in his 60s is absolutely palpable. So, I mean, I know victims of bad priests, but, you know, keep in mind, Malone has only been here for how many years? And at one point, by the way, the first time we had him in studio, we asked the bishop, would he like to go back and shake his predecessors by the shoulders and ask, what the hell were you thinking? And his answer pretty much was yes. In some respects, this guy did walk into some of the controversial areas.
Yeah, but this is going on now. I mean, this is ongoing. And, to me, it just seems at the height of hypocrisy to be doing that while you're saying you're going to take care of the victims and yada, yada.
Well, that's going to be something that Roman Catholics are going to have to decide.